Last Sunday, as I began the sermon, I mentioned some coming attractions. I indicated that we would be hearing from the Gospel of John during these remaining Sundays in Lent, and I mentioned that some of those readings would be a bit long. If you didn't get that word of advice last Sunday, or encouragement, and you came in this morning and happened to glance at the scripture insert and looked at the gospel lesson and said, "Oh no," you are forgiven. But this is typical of John's way of telling the story of Jesus Christ, to give these rather lengthy narratives about conversations that Jesus has with someone else. And really, in this particular instance, you really have to hear the whole story from beginning to end. Because the story begins with a stranger appearing at a well who is then transformed and becomes something different by the end of the story. And in fact, now that we're at the main attraction for this Sunday at least, this story of the Samaritan woman, I think a good title, if this were to be made into a movie, might be The Making of a Missionary. This woman becomes, in this story, a missionary, an evangelist for Jesus Christ, because having met this stranger and having had this encounter, she hurries away from the well, leaving her water jar to go and proclaim the good news to her fellow villagers, that they need to come and meet this Messiah, a missionary, an evangelist. Now, we are not part of a tradition known for making extraordinary efforts to be evangelists. Personal testimonies in our Sunday worship are not a central part of Episcopal or even Anglican tradition, or the idea that we might go out and knock on our neighbor's doors or even a stranger's door to share the good news. It's not something we normally encourage folks to do here. In fact, the Diocese of Massachusetts once actually published a pamphlet entitled A Shy Person's Guide to Evangelism. How do you go about sharing the good news if you're a bit reticent? I mean, we may not be all cradle Episcopalians. We may not all be native New Englanders. But Facebook notwithstanding, we do still live in a culture where we don't tend to share a lot about ourselves with others. So reticence may keep us from emulating this woman, but something else may cause us to take a step back as well. And I would say that that hesitation also might come from fear. For did you hear how the woman conveys the good news? She goes back to her village, and this is what she says to the people around her. "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done." Is that good news for you? To think that someone else might know everything you have ever done? Is that a beckoning way to bring people to Christ? What if we adopted it as our slogan for St. John's on our website or on a sign above the front door that said, "Come here, come join us, for this is a place where everything you've ever done is going to be known"? Not sure how much we would grow. And yet for the woman, it is a highly effective way of calling people to discipleship. For many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." What if someone were to know everything about me, even those aspects of myself, my behaviors, my thoughts that I try to avoid acknowledging? On Thursday evening, I was at the Lenten faith conversations that we're having here in the parish house. And it's a lovely gathering. If you haven't been able to come, I encourage you to do so. And Lynn is leading us in conversations about faith and doing it in a wonderful way where a question is asked after supper and then everyone simply has a chance, if they would like, to share an answer. It's not required. And there's not then a response or a debate or a discussion, just an opportunity for each of us to share some thoughts about our faith and our relationships to God. The question that Lynn posed for us this week was, who is Jesus Christ to you? Who do you say that he is? Now, one of the important rules of that meeting is confidentiality, that we don't share outside the group what other people have shared. But I think I'm allowed that I can share what I said. One has permission to do that. And what I shared with that group was recalling a time, early adulthood, just out of college, when I was on a retreat and being led in a group meditation, a guided meditation, in which we were asked to imagine ourselves on the shore of a sea, perhaps the Sea of Galilee, guided to think about approaching a crowd and seeing this crowd and then peering over the crowd and realizing that in the center of the crowd was Jesus speaking. And then the retreat leader guided us in our thoughts to invite us to see suddenly that crowd parting and Jesus looking directly at me and calling my name. And I still remember the vivid, almost visceral reaction I had as I heard my name called, because my first response was, uh-oh. Uh-oh. He has seen me. And he knows me. And I've been found out. There may be reticence. There may be fear that someone might fully see who we are. But isn't there also desire to be seen, to be known, to be recognized? I remember my time as a school teacher. I remember growing increasingly frustrated in the classroom by the behavior of one young boy who was constantly drawing attention to himself by his misbehavior, by his acting out, by his getting in trouble. And then as I come to learn more about him and know him more and know about his family background and the home situation from which he comes, I come to realize that, of course, being noticed for bad behavior is still better than not being noticed at all. If one cannot receive the attention of a loving heart, one can at least receive the attention of some adult because you have acted up. Pay attention to me, was his cry, articulated in behavior that was bound to get noticed. Attention must be paid. Those were the words of Linda Lohman, the wife of Willie Lohman, in Arthur Miller's play, The Death of a Salesman. In that play, if you recall, we see a man whose life is unraveling. He loses his job, he loses the respect of his sons, who want to dismiss his significance, who see no real accomplishment in what they consider the trajectory of his life. And it is their mother who responds to them this way. Willie Lohman never made a lot of money, she says. His name was never in the paper. He's not the finest character that ever lived, but he's a human being, and a terrible thing is happening to him. So attention must be paid. He's not to be allowed to fall into his grave like an old dog. Attention, attention must finally be paid to such a person. And that is what is happening in our gospel story today. Attention is being paid. A woman in the region of Samaria, a resident of that region, comes to the well in her village as she comes every day. And then a stranger strikes up a conversation in a way that she would not expect. First, because she is a woman. And did you hear the response of the disciples when they come back from their sojourn in the village and they see Jesus speaking with her? They are astonished that he would pay attention to a woman. For in that time and place, it would not have been appropriate for a single male adult to speak to a single male woman in that time. And she was a Samaritan, not a Jew. And it is the woman herself who raises this question with Jesus. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan? For Jews do not have things in common with Samaritans. They did have something in common, their common ancestry as children of Jacob. She is at Jacob's well. But the Samaritans had long ago intermarried with Assyrian conquerors, were no longer considered part of the covenant by Jewish people, and Jews were taught not to engage with them. But Jesus pays attention, engages with her, and in a lively conversation of give and take about water, about worship and tradition, she discovers much. She discovers a teacher who offers her a gift of living water and who knows her fully. And it's important to take note, when he tells the truth to her, even as she has said the truth, "I have no husband," he says, "I know. You have no husband. The man you are living with now is not your husband, and you have had five husbands." Well, much has been made in the tradition about the supposed loose morals of this woman. And yet, if we pay close attention to the text, all we know is this. She's living with someone who is not currently her husband, but we do not know that she has been married and divorced five times. For all we know, she may have been widowed five times. And given her response to Jesus, it does not even seem that she considers his words a rebuke. She doesn't step back in shame. She doesn't step back in guilt. She doesn't even ask for forgiveness. Instead, she wonders, "Are you a prophet? Could you possibly be the Messiah?" So a woman encounters a stranger at the well. She discovers in this encounter that she is fully known. And in that encounter, she recognizes Jesus as the Christ and is given a gift of new life. Maybe we need to put that sign out front. Come here. Come here because God seeks to fully know you and embrace you in the fullness of your life. God seeks to know you and love you in the failure of your life. Come here, come to this place, come to this well, come and discover that there is someone who can tell you everything you have ever done, tell you even more than you realize, who knows you fully, and who seeks to draw you more fully into relationship. Now, I am not suggesting that that means we need to be a community where we tell everyone else about everything we have done. But rather that in God's sight, we know that we are fully known. Come to this well, Samaritan or Jew. Come to this well, woman or man. Come to this well, gay or straight. Come if you have been blessed, and come if you are broken. Come and draw from its depths. For attention is being paid. Attention is being paid to each of our lives, and it is the attention of Christ, the Anointed One, who comes into the everyday routines of our lives, in the labor of going to the well or the leisure of going for coffee with friends, in walking with a spouse or a partner, and in the worship of our God with everyone else in this place. Come. See a person who will tell you everything you've ever done, because that is very good news. Amen.